We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
Almost as big as your ego. Not quite, almost as big. And the place and the time is gonna be WrestleMania. And your opponent is gonna be The Undertaker. Oh, by the way, just so you can't take your ball and run home like you have before, this match will be in Hell in a Cell. Welcome back, Jano.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. I'm your host, Kel Dansby.
It's Andreas Hill.
And we are back a day late, but I promise you it's worth the wait. We're going to be talking about ROH, bringing in a special guest for you guys today. We're also talking about Keith Thurman getting injured, WWE Fastlane, the return of Shane O'Mac, and throwing in some other stuff in between there. But let's start with Connor. Everyone wants to hear about Connor.
First of all, let's shout out where we're at again. We always got to give love to the family of LV Fight Shop.
Of course, here on the Las Vegas Strip in a Planet Hollywood hotel and casino. If you guys are in town next week for the fight, come by, say what's up to us. We record Wednesdays, 4 p.m. through 6. We'll be here after, what is on Wednesdays?
Open workouts.
Yeah. We'll be here after that. You guys can come chill with us, talk with us. We're always here. It's always nice to have you guys. We're going to see Connor before then, though. It's crazy.
Yo.
Let's start. RDA gets injured.
Breaks his foot, or as Connor says, bruise his foot.
Take
some ibuprofen and keep it moving.
RDA pulls out. He's still talking shit, though.
I mean, what else he got to do?
Might as well shut up. Shit. Like, bow out gracefully.
Yo, Brazilians and Connor, it just doesn't work. It takes two tries, right? Aldo took two tries. It'll take two tries for RDA to get his fight with Conor.
He's like Pacquiao when he was just running through Mexicans.
It's a good comparison.
It's Conor and the Brazilians just taking them out one by one. They're all just scared.
So here's my question. How do you feel about the matchup? At 170, no less.
Okay. 170 is a little weird. That's the only reason I think Conor's going to maybe take a couple rounds to adjust. He's never fought at that weight. It makes a difference. Nate's naturally bigger than Connor. We saw that at the press conference that we'll talk about in a second. So Nate gets that advantage. He doesn't have to cut down. He doesn't have to drain himself. It'll be the most refreshed Nate we've seen in a long time. Now, Nate coming off of 10 days, I'm not sure if I trust that, because I feel like 10 days ago, you know, maybe Nate was just sitting on a couch taking bong rips, chilling, listening to some old school West Coast hip hop. So I don't know how great a shape he's going to be in. He's going to try to make it entertaining, but I don't see Connor losing this fight. I've seen Nate lose to people not as skilled as Connor. He's also upset a couple of people, but I don't feel like that's going to happen here. He has flaws in his striking. As good as it can be sometimes, it can be wild and sloppy, and you can't do that against McGregor.
Well, yeah, so we got to look at a couple things here. Nate Diaz has been knocked out before by John Thompson. It's the only person that stopped him with a knockout. Nate Diaz has also been a master of taking people out of their game. So he did it to Cowboy Cerrone. He's done it. He did it to Michael Johnson, where he just kind of talks shit to you until you're just out of the game. But he's not going to do that to Conor McGregor. Not a 10-day camp.
No, it's just not enough time for him to really get in shape stylistically to prepare for Conor, which is always different. You can't prepare for what McGregor brings. No one else is going to do that. There was no camp to have someone duplicate that awkward-ass style. Conor's thicker now. We were concerned about the leg kicks in his last fight. We're not going to see any of that. It's going to be stand-up boxing. And if Conor goes to the ground, maybe Nate's going to try to, you know, put a submission on him. But we've seen him against Mendez at a drained weight. Nate's wrestling's not that. So McGregor was able to get up that fight. He should be able to get up here. I don't see anywhere Nate is better than Conor. I just don't.
No, I think he might stop him inside of a round. I think because of the fact it's a 10-day camp, that Nate's conditioning will be in question and Conor will test him quick. But I think that first, the moment when those two get in the octagon and staring across at each other and the middle fingers and the trash talk, it's on. But then after that, I think there's nothing left. I think Nate's going to get ran over, and that's that. But here's the question. What does this do to the featherweight division? Conor McGregor's fighting at 170. Does he fight Frankie Edgar at 145 in a few months?
He has to go back down.
I don't think it happens.
I don't think now you make him go down that fast. It has to be RDA next. Frankie, you have to work a system. If he wants to do all of these divisions and weight classes, you have to now book in advance. But I don't know how you do that when everyone's falling out. So if this fight's at 170, his next fight has to be on 155, and then give him more time to cut down to 145. And then after 145, next fight, 155, then one set, and you keep working in that order. I don't think I could ever see him as a 170-pound champion just because it's too hard. It's too much of a gap between divisions now. 145, 155, you can go back and forth and defend both belts at the same time. 170, you can't do that. You're just locking a division, and that division is stacked with talent. That division can't be put on hold.
If he happens to mow down Nate Diaz, he's going to ask for Robbie Lawler at 200. He's going to do it. He's Conor McGregor. He's fucking nuts.
And that's a great fucking matchup for him, by the way.
Which is, I mean, it's a tough matchup for somebody who's naturally walks around, you know, as a welterweight versus somebody who's taking his second fight at welterweight. But here's my issue. You basically put pause on the featherweight division.
Correct. But he's run through, arguably him or Aldo ran through a division already. So what are you putting pause on?
But well, you're putting pause on Frankie Edgar's life, first of all. And
he should have been ready.
Frankie, well, he was injured. What can you do? And it's not
you pulled his groin at the wrong time.
I'm just saying, it's 10 days notice on a championship fight where you haven't been training at all, because it's not like you were booked for a fight and then they were like, hey, move over to this card. Frankie's waiting for 200. That's all they told him. That's not fair to tell him that, like, he rejected the fight. He's hurt. But so the issue is like, all right, well, do you do interim title fight? Do you do Frankie Aldo? Do you do, like, you still have Max Holloway sitting there too? Like, these guys can't just be waiting for Conor McGregor to come back, and he may never come back.
Yeah, Frankie Aldo would make the most sense as an interim. That's definitely a fight they can push. But do you now disrespect Conor by giving an interim title? Conor's going to let that happen?
If Conor can't fight, because if he fights now and then he's got to fight again at 200, and so he fights at 170 and 155. You mean to tell me we got to make Frankie Edgar wait till the end of the year?
Got to wait until September.
Nah, it won't even happen in September. Like, that's July.
Conor tries to fight four times a year.
Yeah, but he's not going to be cutting down to 145 that quick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if he fights Robbie Lawler at 170 or 200, there's no way he's fighting in September 145.
No. Then it'd be end of the year. It'd be December again.
Yeah, it's just, for it 145. Just sucks. If your name is Frankie Edgar, your life sucks right now because you're just sitting on the bench waiting.
But if you're Frankie Edgar, do you want to take the Aldo fight? No, because you might lose.
You got to get some bread. You're going to lose. I mean, yo, you got to get paid. Like, Frankie's not getting paid.
You're going to get paid enough when you fight Conor. Conor's a guaranteed half a mil.
But what if Conor don't fight you? That's all I'm saying.
Sooner or later.
He might just get stripped. He might be, like, if he became a welterweight champion, he might stay at 170. If he became a lightweight champion. And Kavanaugh said before, he's not making that cut again.
If he becomes lightweight champion, Frankie, you move up to 155 and you fight him for the lightweight belt. You just give up the dream of the featherweight belt. You take the cash out, gain the 10 pounds, and fight him for the lightweight belt. That's it. And that's your answer. And that's how you get a quicker fight.
I don't know. I just think, hey, it's Conor's world. Like Frankie said, the C in UFC stands for Conor McGregor, so let him have it.
Yeah. All right. Matter of fact, just got a text. Our guest is in the building. We are here at the Planet Hollywood once again in the Las Vegas Fight Shop. And We're in the Miracle Mile, so this shit's a mile around. It's kind of hard to find the shop. Andreas has to run and go grab our guest. He'll be right back. Thankfully, friend of the podcast, Marcus Vandenberg, Yahoo Sports, is in the building. He is going to slide in. We're going to make him stop working on his laptop real quick to finish talking about Conor McGregor. I know he's sad that he's no longer part of this circus now that he's gotten like his little promotion, aren't you?
Define sad. No, I'm actually doing a lot of MMA editing in the office. I just haven't been to an event since the summer. So I won't be at 186. Good luck with that. So maybe 200. I'll make an appearance.
Yes, you got to come through for 200. The entire Reverse Rat Pack will be here. So
yeah.
I'm sure we'll go out and have dinner. And
I edit like two-thirds of the Rat Pack. I edit Ryan and I edit Andreas Network. So.
Yeah, look at that. I'm the only one. Yeah. The lone wolf. I probably need an editor too. No, that's great. We're talking Conor McGregor before Andreas had to run, figuratively, of course.
Yes.
I haven't seen him run in years.
No.
He had to get out of here.
It's
but
in the buffet,
McGregor,
maybe.
McGregor versus Diaz, we were wrapping it up. It seems like such an odd fight, especially at 170. Were you surprised by like how everything went down and just the rush behind it?
I think the rush might have to do with, I think, Wednesday, Conor was scheduled for a media day in Los Angeles, and they wanted to make sure he had an opponent before they put him out there. So that part, I wasn't surprised about. But as for Diaz being the opponent, I guess if you're looking at, you know, 10 days out, no title on the line, which fight could you make that would be the biggest spectacle? And definitely it'd be Diaz. So in that sense, it does make sense because it's like, listen, give these two the microphone. We saw on Wednesday what happened. When they squared off each other, it was just, at some point, they got to step in and, like, control these top press conferences, right? It was just.
How'd you edit that one? There was no editing there.
It was insane. And
I think they said fuck 50 times, at least, between the two of them.
And then the whole Cholo line made me cringe when Conor said that. I don't know. It just feels like Conor is due to, like, say something that's totally inappropriate that's going to sort of cool his buzz. And I hope he doesn't say anything too crazy, but it just feels like he's just set up.
He hasn't
to say
fought
something.
A black fighter yet.
Oh, could you imagine?
Because, I mean, he's not from America.
Well, I mean,
literally
Joe Rogan said
shit
this week about Dada 5000 and
yeah,
the fried chicken line. Could you,
I saw
I
that.
Could see Conor say something like that and just be like, oh, wait, hold on. Like,
it's just like,
it's not cute anymore. Now you've really crossed the line.
How'd you feel about that line? I mean, the fight itself obviously was a circus, but this is like the second time that Rogan has just like flew off the handle and said some wild shit. First it was the Cyborg comments he had to apologize for, and then now it's fried chicken and
I'm still waiting on
that
apology,
soda.
But I haven't seen an apology, have you?
No, I haven't seen an
so
apology
been,
at all. I haven't had to write it up. So
it's been, two or three days now.
Yeah, I think the Conor buzz just kind of like cooled it off and saved him. But I like that you pointed out that you said orange soda and not grape soda.
Yeah.
Like, get you're going to be stereotypical.
Get it right. Get your racism right, Joe. Get some Welch's grape, T-bone steak. I think Ryan McKenna did a great post on Yahoo Sports sort of talking about Joe. And while, yes, he's a sharp dude, he's a comedian, he just, you know, he did cross the line. And I do think the UFC at some point is going to have to check him and say, hey, look, you know, you might be doing this off company time, but you are representing UFC.
Yeah, definitely.
And MMA as a bigger sport. So you can't say stupid shit like that. And not even apologize for it at this point. I mean, it's sort of like been.
It's all the time now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's now it's a habit. It's constant. That can't be the deal. So he has to change, or maybe his time with the UFC is coming to an end.
And which might be the case. And if that's the case, then you know what? If you want to go out and make jokes, then so be it.
Nah, definitely. Another fight that we have that has a little bit of controversy coming up this weekend is Anderson Silva versus,
yes,
Bisping. Bisping talking about how his manhood doesn't work anymore. He can't take his pills, can't fail his test. That shit's hilarious. But Anderson Silva, man, he's coming back. On Fight Pass. So the majority of people aren't going to see it. I'm going to stream it. Sorry to all the UFC people if you're listening. I don't have it.
Eric
so
Winter, that's Kel Dansby you can go after. I have Fight Pass, literally.
Can someone, like, please just give me a discount on
up
it or something? Yeah,
it's
like,
$10 a month, man.
I spend that on network. I got Hulu, Netflix.
It's a tax write-off. Just write it off every year.
That is true.
$120. There you go.
See, look it. This is why I keep you around. Yes. You're a smart man. So I don't know. How do you feel about it? Do you think Silva has a second go-around still left in him?
I think Silva wins this fight somehow, some way. And if he does win, I mean, he still has the star power. Why not sort of elevate him to the top of the division?
Yeah, once I mean, again? They need people.
They do. They need stars.
Yeah, we see an immediate rematch after Weidman just got dominated. So him and Rockhold have to go again because someone else got popped for PEDs.
Yeah.
So why not just give Anderson, you know, the Rockhold fight? It'll sell. If you need something for later in the year, obviously that one I think is booked for, the rematch is booked for UFC 199, right before 200.
Let's say if Weidman loses, would you be interested in Weidman Silva 3?
No.
Actually, would Anderson be interested in that? Because I don't think he wants those problems again.
No, it's a horrible matchup for Anderson. And the last two times, he didn't leave very well. I think the best thing for Anderson is to fight Rockhold. Just see if it's just styles make fights. Rockhold happens to be better than Chris at a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but maybe unfortunately, it hurts me. I mean, that's my Hofstra classmate right there. So it hurts me, and it pained me to see him get his ass beat. But
does Hofstra still have sports?
How dare you? Hey, where did you go? Southern
I went
Utah?
Southern Utah. Listen, I know all about Hofstra. All
right. Yeah. Yes, we don't have football.
No more football,
right? No more football. But we still have wrestling and basketball and baseball and
all
that
stuff. Did Marcus Colston go there?
He did.
Wayne Corbett. look at this. Look at the Hofstra knowledge that I'm dropping.
Lance Schulters. Willie Colon.
Look at that. You guys are doing well for yourself.
Yeah, but, I mean, once those guys retire, that's it.
Yeah, no one else.
Football. Kyle Arrington of the Patriots, now the Ravens.
Okay.
Hofstra. So, yeah, we have a few guys.
Yeah, and just no more football. All other sports, still.
Yes.
Okay, shout out to Hofstra. You guys still doing well over there.
Sure, we are.
Carry on the legacy. So, yeah, we have Silva. I don't know if he wins. I'm not a huge Bisping fan. I just don't believe in Silva, if that's a thing. If he wins, it sets up great possibilities.
And if he loses, then what? Is that it?
It's it. You got to walk away. His legacy, that'd be one of the worst endings to a career, mixed martial arts, boxing, whatever. I mean, maybe in history. And, I mean, Roy Jones has had a pretty bad demise. But it's been over time.
Yeah.
For as great as he was, like, he just wore down. Father Time caught him. And he just stayed around too long. Silva, it was like 2 years ago, best fighter on the planet. Best fighter ever.
Yes,
greatest
ever.
Fighter ever. 2.5 years,
and then,
gone.
You can call it a fluke loss. I can accept that.
Okay.
And then
His style led to the loss.
And then the second time with the lead break.
Possible fluke loss, but he was also getting dominated.
He was the first round. He probably should have been stopped the first round.
Yeah, so it's just like, then you come back, you win a weird fight against Nick Diaz, and even then you get popped.
You get popped, and that hurts your legacy.
And
even
now
more.
You're suspended, and then you come back and lose again.
That might be it.
It's it. And it's a horrible way.
It's going
to
be sad.
And
I hope he doesn't do it in London. Because I do think, this being on Fight Pass, people are going to be watching. And I hope they, if he does retire, he saves it maybe for even next weekend before the show in Vegas. Maybe like on Friday, he has a press conference and says, hey, look, I'm going to retire. So people can at least watch it as opposed to on Fight Pass.
Yeah, that's very true. I guess if he loses, do you give him the retirement match? Maybe him, Vitor?
At 200, maybe?
If he wins, I think he definitely fights at 200.
Yeah, if he wins, I think 200 for sure.
If he wins, I don't know how Dana doesn't throw the bank at GSP and just say, come back for one more. Like, the hell with the title. Come back. Give us nostalgia. Give us you, Silva. Even past your prime.
And
shit,
both guys walk away at the end. They both say this is it.
This is it. Last fight. This is how we end our UFC careers.
That'd be good.
With the thing everyone wanted to see. And like we saw, Mayweather-Pacquiao, people tune in for that shit.
Yeah, though,
it doesn't matter if it's 6 years too late. People want to see that. And even if that's not the main event because Conor McGregor is on the card, that's still a pretty good co-main. You're not getting a better co-main than that.
Especially with Ronda out. Yeah, that's...
So it's... That's probably the best way they go, but it all hinges on a Silva win this weekend.
And he can be ugly. He just has to win. He just can't lose. Yeah. I mean, he can grind it out.
I don't know how it's ugly. Like, five rounds is so long at this point.
Like, I see it going 25 rounds. I think it's going off.
Oh my god, I got shit to do. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's gonna be ugly. I might head to just second night of ROH and just follow it on Twitter. I don't know. That'd be an ugly thing to watch. One more thing, I guess, before we go to break. There was some boxing news, not much, but Keith Thurman gets in a car accident, has to pull out of the fight on March 12th. Sean Porter is now left sitting there waiting once again. Kenny Porter hints that there's BS. He needs to see proof. The pictures of the car were circulating online yesterday. It doesn't look that bad.
No?
No.
I didn't see the pictures. So.
There's like a tiny dent on the rear of this sports car.
Wow. So
on the rear passenger. So I don't know where he was sitting. Maybe he doesn't drive himself around. I don't know.
Maybe. I doubt it, but
I've seen worse. So it seems like an excuse. One, I understand you want to be 100% going into any fight, which is great. But I don't know how this really stops you. It's the RDA thing. It's like, put some ice on it.
It is.
Now it's moved back.
Porter is much too nice to beat the Connor of this role and call Thurman out.
Oh,
he's outside his personality.
No, his father definitely is. And
yes,
his father.
As most boxing fathers are.
Definitely. I don't know. Now it's moved. Entire card.
Card gone. So
gone.
No show.
Maybe
March 12th.
We get him in Vegas now.
Yeah, I hope it's not Connecticut.
I never understood that from the get go. Tell you the truth. But now, yeah, it definitely opens it up for it to be here. This is where it should have been.
Yes.
This is the stage they need. It's supposedly one of the biggest boxing fights of the year. They're not marketing it as such.
They're not. Or if you're going to do it in, not Vegas, at least do it in one of their respective hometowns. Do it in Ohio, do it in Florida, but don't do it in Connecticut.
Boxing to me just seems like a hard sell in Florida. Sports in general, hard sell to pack in Florida. Ohio's Ohio.
Yeah.
No disrespect to my Ohio listeners. It's just not a huge city.
It's not.
New York is pretty well booked this entire spring. I mean, you got Triple G. You have
Triple G's out at the Forum.
Oh, is there a Forum?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. Something just opened up.
Yeah, it's at the Forum.
Oh, it's Forum. Yes, because I can't go to that one because I have UFC.
Yeah, it's the same matter. Yeah, that's right.
They screwed me on
that. Yeah, that's going to be.
I would have been LLA hanging out watching that fight. So that would be good. I mean, New York is open in April, but once again, such a weird place. If you're going to Connecticut, I don't know, neither of them have regional fans there.
No.
So move it to a bigger stage. Go to Barclays. You know, go to MSG.
Yeah.
It's the heart of basketball season, but make it work. I don't think either of the cities will have a team in the playoffs, so it can't be too hard.
That is a fair statement to say.
You're going to have plenty of time in both arenas to fill. Why not? So, if it just can't stay in Connecticut. Hopefully, it moves here. That'd be the greatest thing. Hopefully, they announce when it's rescheduled for, so we can start making plans for that. It's just odd, man, to see people pulling out of all these sports and throwing these cards away, pretty much.
Car accident, that's a new one. That's a new excuse.
It's hard to fake a car accident.
If it is an excuse, yeah, it's hard to fake it.
It's just, I don't know if training has to change or what, but just scrapping cards and everything, like, it just can't be cool at this point. The UFC does it way too much. And Conor McGregor thankfully saved this one. But this one's 196 because 196 originally got scrapped and turned into a Fox Sports 1 card.
What do you think the number will be for this card? Because I forgot all about Holly Holm until yesterday when I said, oh, yeah, Holly Holm is on this card.
It's going to do well.
Over a million?
Yeah. Connor's that now. Connor had an entire Sports Center segment yesterday talking about the press conference. And
they showed
highlights.
The press conference.
Yeah.
I don't know how they showed it with all the profanity, but they showed it.
They cut it down to like 45 seconds. It was a brief synopsis of the press conference. And everyone's talking about it, though. Connor is transcending, you know, sports and platforms and everything. They no longer have Ronda to do so until she decides, you know, she's fit and willing to come back. So Connor's really carrying it on his back.
You know
back.
Who
he's
reminds me
good.
Of? Quick tangent here. He's like the Rob Gronkowski of MMA. Like, he does what he wants. There is no backlash. But there, if there's a black Conor McGregor, please believe.
Yeah, you can't do
please
that.
Please believe he would not be the face of the of this company.
No, no. I mean, I would have loved not the way for John Jones to be the black Conor McGregor in some way. Like, come on, John. Like, he pitched the whole, like, holier-than-thou angle.
That
but
was
he was
his
doing
mistake.
Blow and,
yeah.
and drugs and, like, chilling and all this. Just be John.
Just be John.
Because you're the best on the planet. What is someone going to say to you?
Yeah.
He could have, earning-wise, been McGregor. He missed the boat. And we, you know, naturally maybe it would have gotten the same reception as McGregor does. And then that would have been something else to debate. Because Cam Newton isn't well-received, and he's not horrible.
He's not a horrible person. He's not getting in trouble.
No, I mean, he wiped up a stripper, but
hey, listen,
she does strip no more.
9 out of 10's not bad.
Yeah, you know. Listen, she don't strip no more. She's fine. Yes. That's cool.
She's reformed.
Yes. You can turn a something into a housewife.
Yes.
So he's there. He's a family man. He's all good. He does nothing but dance, and people found a way to pick that apart. So
Gronkowski has a party boat, and he's a hero.
Paying people $10K to have sex on stage
in
front of everyone. And that shit makes SportsCenter.
Yeah. Like, I don't get it.
Like it's nothing. Like, oh, yeah, it's just Gronk being Gronk. So maybe we'll see that with a black athlete. I don't know. You have to perform.
Constantly. You have to perform.
Gronk's never dipped performance-wise.
He hasn't, no. So, and to be fair, he's never been in trouble either.
Yeah, no.
The same way Conor hasn't been in trouble. Just personality-wise, it seems like.
It's legal
there's a double standard. Yeah, it's legal fun.
But then again, Johnny gets ripped for that. Johnny Football, which is...
Well, he's not good. That's the problem.
Yeah,
he's not
doesn't
talented.
Perform.
Yeah.
And then now hitting his girlfriend is probably
the
worst way you can go.
That's the final straw for him.
that's all bad. But yeah, you got to perform, and maybe we will get that black athlete. Andreas went to go get our guest, Moose, from ROH, and he'll sit down and talk to us a little bit about black wrestlers and how that's kind of changing and, you know, the narrative around them is growing and developing. And it's different than 20 years ago. Maybe we're growing to a place where a black star can be, you know, just out there, not be a bad guy. Because Floyd, it's hard to say domestic violence aside, because it's such a huge
part
of it.
That's such a huge part of his legacy.
But the partying and everything still bothered people as well. The persona of partying, because he really didn't do that much.
He doesn't drink, does he?
Doesn't drink.
Doesn't
smoke.
Doesn't
no
smoke.
Drugs. No nothing. He spent his money outlandishly in clubs, but I promise you, I've seen the guy go to a club until 12:30, tell his little security dude, the big buff, not big fat dudes that's always behind him, like, yo, you guys ready? They're like, yeah, hand him a duffel bag, changes it into sweats, and runs down Spring Mountain the entire way, right to the gym. He'll train from 2 a.m. till 5. He doesn't care. Like, he doesn't drink or anything. He's fresh as hell. He's a night owl. He goes into the club. He pays for everyone else to drink. He takes pictures, pops bottle for TMZ, leaves, and goes training. Like, there's no harm in that. People pick that apart. So we obviously weren't ready for that before. Adrian Broner is a clown, and his
clown
talent hasn't caught up.
Yes.
So he can't be that guy. We'll see. We'll see if we can get that
Andre
person
Ward's
in sports.
Not that guy.
No. Deontay Wilder has a huge personality, but he's not the club-going type. He's kind of more of a family man himself. He just has a loud mouth and can speak
in his
well.
Country.
Yeah, but he's not like the flamboyant guy. He's not Conor.
No, he's not Conor.
And I don't know if we'll get another guy like Conor. And there's some great fighters coming up. I forgot who I saw. There was like the young kid, the young martial arts kid. He's just wrecking people. I don't know if it was in UFC or World Series of Fighting. I have to look the guy up. I'll have his name for the next show.
It's not Sage Northcutt, unfortunately.
No. But he is a character, and he does, like, Dragon Ball Z, like, hand gestures and all that, and he wrecks people. And that guy has, you know, attitude. If he keeps winning, we'll see. We'll see if they'll let him continue to do that.
Yeah.
Or if he's painted, you know, a deviant or something, you know, because then we have a whole another issue. And that's why we have shows like this, so we can talk about, you know, the differences between race and everything in sports, and combat sports specifically. But like I said, Andreas is out there. Him and Moose are making their way back to the fight shop right now. I just got the text, so we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, Andreas will be here with Moose. We'll talk ROH, WWE, tons of wrestling. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, now we want to take a pause and ask you, our loyal listeners, for a favor. We want to get to know you, and to do so, we need you to fill out a quick online survey. It won't take more than 5 minutes, and besides helping out the show, you'll be entered for a chance to win a $100 iTunes gift card.
We know some of you may have already done surveys like this in the past, but we really need you to log in and fill this thing out as accurately as possible. Once we know more about you, the listeners, we'll be able to help deliver the show and sponsors you dream about. Finding sponsors who are a good fit means we get to give you good deals and information on the brands you care about while keeping the show free to enjoy every week.
And if you don't care about helping us or making the show better, do it for the chance to win an iTunes or Amazon.com gift card. I know you want that.
TheCornerSurvey.com. Again, that's TheCornerSurvey.com.
Help us out.
Help us.
Do it.
Do it.
All right, everybody, thanks for staying through the break. We are back with our guest as promised. ROH is Moose, kind of everywhere, though. You're everywhere now. Just got back from Japan. One of the best wrestlers in the world. If you guys don't know yet, you will very, very soon. ROH 14th anniversary this weekend. Everyone should be watching. Moose, thanks for coming through.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. Thanks for, I mean, I don't look at myself as one of the best wrestlers in the world, but I just want to be one of them, like not one of the best. I just want my name to be out there, but you saying I'm one of the best, thanks for that. Thanks, I appreciate it.
I mean, it's not easy putting on the show. We're going to talk WWE after this. It's kind of hard for people to put on a good show and storytelling, everything. You took to it really fast. Tell the people a little bit about that, because you came from a football background and had to kind of translate and transfer over. We see a lot of that now. How was that transition for you?
Transition has been great, man. As a kid, I was a big professional wrestling fan, and it was something I always knew I wanted to do since I was like 10, 12 years old. So I think the transition, because it's something I love and something I wanted to do, came a little easy. For those who don't know, I played in the National Football League for 7 years, and towards the end of my career, football became stressful. It became a job. It wasn't something I liked to do. I honestly hated it, and the only way I knew I could make myself happy was to chase the dream I always wanted since I was a kid. So that's the main reason, or the only reason, why I decided to leave the football life and throw away all that money to join an entertainment business that when you start, you don't make jack crap. You know, like sometimes you work wrestling matches for free, but that's the way you have to go if you want to be a big name in the business, you know?
I mean, would you have thought, though, when you started that you'd be wrestling Okada at this point in your career already?
Oh, no. No way. Even when I signed to Ring of Honor a couple of years ago, I didn't think I was going to be wrestling Okada anytime soon. I was really surprised when they announced this match with me versus Okada. I remember we had was it a house show or a TV taping, one of them, and I walked in, and guys was just looking at me like, and I could see in their eyes like, why I'm getting this look from everybody, and it's a good thing, but I don't know what is it for. And my manager Stokely ran up to me and was like, man, bruh. That's exactly how he said it. He was like, bruh, you're not going to believe this. And I was like, what's going on? And he was like, you know, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to say nothing to you. And I was like, that's weird. So why would you get me all hyped and not to break the news, you know? And I saw Hunter, obviously the booker, and he didn't say nothing to me. And he was just acting like it was regular old Hunter and whatever. And then I ran into Lethal, Jay. And he was like, oh, did you hear? He said it like it wasn't a big deal. He was like, oh, did you hear? And I was like, nah, I mean, I've been looking around and people was acting really different. What's up? And he was like, oh, you're wrestling Okada next month. And I fucking lost it. I was like, get out of here. Like, are you serious? I thought he was playing a rib on me. And Hunter eventually told me, and he said, man, you've come a long way, and me and office, we think we have enough faith in you for you to make this good. And I was in shock, because I didn't think they saw that much into me to give me the spot. So I'm definitely very happy of it, and I'm gonna work the hardest I've ever worked my whole life just for this match. Not saying I don't always work hard, because I do, but if I'm going to, like the cliche term, I'm going to leave everything, absolutely everything in the ring tomorrow night, so.
Do you think you're going to be nervous when you're standing across the ring from him? Or is the switch going to be flipped and it's on?
I'm definitely going to be nervous. I think that's a good thing. And I was telling you this on the – I don't know if I was telling you this, but I know I was talking about this. It's been a while since I've been nervous before a wrestling match. And going back to my football days, I had my best games when I was nervous going in. So I think I'm going to have my best match because I'm going to be nervous going in. And for the people who don't know, and if you ask me who's my favorite wrestler currently, I say Okada. I say Brock Lesnar. So this is like a dream. Like, I'm going to be wrestling my favorite wrestler ever. Like, wow, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to want to kick his ass, like, but at the end of the day, I have so much freaking respect for him that this is like, this is so surreal, like, you know? So, I mean, it's going to be, this is going to be a ridiculous, fun, crazy match. And I'm willing to put my body on the line to make this the best match the fans have ever seen me wrestle. And hopefully the fans have ever seen in Ring of Honor. I'm going to try that hard to make it, whatever it takes.
How do the styles match up? Because a lot of people, you know, they watch New Japan and it's such a different style than American wrestling, quote unquote. For you, you know, going in there against someone like Okada, who's so skilled, how does your style match his? Is there any difference?
No, I mean, I think I'm a, and I people might say that I'm totally wrong about this. I think I think our styles is gonna be great. I think it's gonna be a lot of chemistry because I see myself as a bigger, and no disrespect to Okada because he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, if not the best. I see myself as a bigger, stronger Black Okada. Like, if you look at my moveset and you look at his moveset, it's quite similar. And I think what makes this match so special, because this argument that I see all the time, I'm tagged to all the time on Facebook and Instagram, who has the best drop kick in wrestling. And two people's name always comes up in this argument, Okada being one and Moose being two, or Moose being one and Okada being two. And we both do the corner drop kick. So this is, and I was telling you, like, in the call, I think we give them exactly what they want as soon as the bells ring. Let's just see. Let's go drop kick for drop kick until we can't drop kick anymore. And then we have a regular match. Like, I think let's give them what they want.
Your match is one that stands out on the card, but looking around, it's a great card top to bottom. Oh,
probably one of the best wrestling cards ever put together.
As a wrestling fan, what else are you kind of looking forward to on the card?
I'm looking forward to the whole card. I mean, like I said, this is probably one of the best wrestling cards I've seen since I've been a wrestler. And now thinking about it, this is probably one of the best wrestling cards I've seen in my whole wrestling childhood. I mean, Hunter did a great job, and he always does a good job booking these matches. And this is going to be awesome. I mean, we get two triple threat championship matches, which you rarely see that. I think that's going to be awesome because both triple threat matches are going to be different. People are going to expect, oh, I see this all the time. Oh man, we have two triple threat title matches. But the great thing about these matches, they're going to be exactly different. Yeah, it's the same match, but it's three different wrestlers that have all three different things to offer. And people are looking besides that, like, it's going to be completely different. And I can't wait to see it. It's going to be so awesome. And then you have for the never six-man title, I think that's what they call it.
Briscoes.
That met with the Briscoes, and if I'm not mistaken, the Bucks and Kenny, the Briscoes, yep. And who's their partner?
Briscoes, well, the never title, never time. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I just blanked on it that quick.
Yeah, but whoever it is, like, I was looking at the card earlier today. It's gonna be magic, and Kenny Omega is, like, one of the hottest wrestlers in the world right now. He's on fire. He's killing it everywhere. And then to have him on our pay-per-view, one of the hottest wrestlers out there. And then you have Dalton Castle, probably the most charismatic wrestler in wrestling right now. I will, go hands down and say he's the most charismatic wrestler out there, and he's on the pay-per-view. And, man, Kushida's on the pay-per-view. Like, oh, my God. Like, this is the Young Bucks. Like, what more can I say? This is a stacked card, and I can't wait for it. I'm pumped up as a wrestler and also as a fan for tomorrow.
So, when, like, being a fan, like, how much do you go back and watch your own matches? And do you critique yourself, or do you try to watch yourself like a fan?
I'm watching myself to critique myself. It's kind of like a football player. After your game, you go home and you watch film, and you study your film, and you break it down in all ways that it could be broken down until you try your best to make it perfect. That's how I am with wrestling. Like, as soon as my match is over, if I don't have it recorded for my use only, I wait till it's on. I wait till they put it on the website and I study it. I watch it until I can make it perfect. That's how much of a perfectionist I am, and I think I get that from football.
And actually, go back, the NEVER title match is actually the Bucks and Omega against ACH, Kushida, and Matt Sydal.
Yes, and that's gonna be crazy. I think we have a is it a no DQ match with War Machine and ANX?
Yes.
Which that's going to be freaking amazing. I can't wait. If you haven't bought this pay-per-view yet, something is wrong with you. Because if you're a wrestling fan, I think it's a great idea to order this pay-per-view, because you're going to see one of the best wrestling cards in the planet.
Man, that's crazy. I looked at the card from top to bottom, and I was like, yeah, there's some great stuff on here.
Right.
But who on that card, I mean, I know aside from Okada, who else in the locker room do you look at and do you admire for not just the way they carry themselves in the ring, but how they bring the morale to the locker room?
I think Jay, he's one of my closest friends on the locker room. I call him all the time. I talk to him all the time. And he has helped me a lot with the progression of Moose, and he's great. I think he's great for the locker room. Yeah, he's young, but he's also one of the leaders in the locker room, and he really helps the young guys in there. And Jay being one of them, the Briscoes, who have helped me out in my upbringing here in Ring of Honor. You have Truth Martini, which I think he's great for the locker room. He's one of the best minds in the business, and yeah, so there's just some names thrown out there.
Talking about friends and people you lean on, we have now Apollo Crews. And we also have Ricochet,
yeah.
Two people you're very close with.
Real close with those guys, yeah.
Both in different promotions now. Mm-hmm. What do you feel when you watch them perform? Being so close and seeing them, and people consider them at the top of their craft as well.
I get so happy when I see my friends in a position of success. It makes me really happy. Like watching a NXT show and watching Apollo doing so great and the fans taking him so well. I get so happy. I don't know how. I get chills, like, because that's like my brother, you know. And same thing with Trevor, with Ricochet, like seeing him in Lucha Underground and the fans taking so well to him, and some of the other shows that he does. And when I see on Twitter and they're having arguments as Ricochet being one of the best wrestlers in the world, that, like, I get chills, because he's one of my good friends in wrestling, and not only in wrestling, just in life itself. And when my friends are in a position of success, I'm like the happiest guy in the world.
How do you feel about all these multiple promotions? It's kind of like a throwback to the 80s, where there was different territories and everything, and people were just killing it everywhere. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great for the wrestling business as workers and as fans. Like, we have more than one source of entertainment. Like, in the last 5-6 years, like 5-6 years ago, it was just WWE. If you wanted great wrestling, you just had to watch WWE to get it. Where now, if you want great wrestling, you can watch Ring of Honor, you can watch WWE, you can watch TNA, you can watch Lucha Underground, you can watch AAA, like, you can watch New Japan. Like, we have all these companies that have in their own status some of the best wrestlers in the world, and you could watch those promotions and have equally a great time, you know, where 10 years ago, you couldn't do that. Like, you only had WWE.
When on the ride over here, we were talking about WrestleMania this year. So let's – I want to put on our little fantasy booking hats right quick. If you were a booker in the WWE, how would you handle this Roman Reigns Triple H match?
Oh, man, putting me on the spot here. If I was a booker in the WWE, I think they're doing a great job booking it. As much as people say, oh, Roman Reigns shouldn't be in the main event, he shouldn't be main event in WrestleMania, I guarantee you WrestleMania is still going to be sold out, so they must be doing something right. If I was the booker, what would I do with Roman Reigns? I definitely think I would turn him heel to protect him, because it's going to get to the point where, I mean, I would turn him heel. Pretty much he is a heel. He is a heel because he's getting booed. So the job of a heel is to get heat. Well, he's already getting heat with the fans. So if I was the booker with WWE, I would kind of make that a thing where I might not turn him heel, but I would make him a tweener. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't try to shove him down the people's throat. But I wouldn't try to make him overly a babyface. I think that's why he's being hated, because they're trying so hard to overly make him a babyface. So I think I would just make him just be not a guy, because he's more than just a guy. I'll make him just be kind of like how Austin wasn't really a babyface, but they never really made him a heel before they actually really turned him heel. He was just a guy, and the fans either hated him or liked him. I think I would book Roman Reigns the same way, where I wouldn't have him making saves and saving Dean Ambrose from getting whooped, because now you're making him a babyface. I would just make him do his own thing. Like, if you like me, you like me. Obviously, you guys hate me, so keep hating me. F you, I'm going to still just do me, you know? I think I would book him that way.
The other one I want to ask is there any possible way in your mind, if you were a booker, that you could see Shane McMahon beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania?
Not happening. Not happening.
It was so quick, though. Not like, happening. There's just no way.
Not happening. Even though Undertaker has lost to WrestleMania, I still don't see that happening. The only way it could be an option is maybe the League of Nations or something somehow join forces with Shane McMahon and they give him the win. I don't see him winning just without any help. He might get help from some of the guys, storyline wise, whoever he pays off to help him. That might happen, but I don't see it happening. I'll be honest, I don't see it happening at all.
Yeah, I don't think Shane ever wins clean. So that's probably the way it's going to have to go over. Watching shows like WrestleMania, and obviously now you're in, you know, the 14th anniversary, huge pay-per-view show. Watching these big events, could you imagine what it's like to be on that stage, on a WrestleMania stage? Is that a goal of yours?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you was to bring any wrestler here and ask them, do you want to wrestle in WrestleMania, they'll be lying if they said no. And that's anybody on our Ring of Honor roster to any other roster out there. I think that's definitely something I want to do before my career as a wrestler is over with. Do I know when that's going to be with Ring of Honor? I don't know. I'm not even thinking about it. But yeah, that for sure. At some point in my career, I do want to main event or WrestleMania, or actually even wrestle in a WrestleMania.
Listen, you, Apollo, Ricochet, Triple Threat, 3 years from now, Mania, book it. I'll pay whatever for that ticket.
Oh, but I'll pay money for that ticket too, even though I'm in the card. Yeah, that would be definitely an awesome match. There's so many crazy, great stories we could tell with that story, because we all, three of us, know each other so well, and it would be a story that we'll be telling that the fans wouldn't even understand. We'll be throwing shots at each other, you know, like jabs at each other. But I definitely think it will be definitely a fun match. And you never know. It might happen. You never know.
We're going to leave on this question. I always got to ask about being black in the wrestling business. And it's like, once upon a time, it was like, you know, you got to be Kamala. You got to be somebody else. But now it's like, you look at Cruz. You look at Ricochet, which he's doing. You look at you in ROH. You think that the whole stigma of African Americans in wrestling has finally changed?
Definitely. Like you said it. Back in the day, if you was black going in the wrestling business, you almost guaranteed you was going to have crazy gimmick where now you could kind of be yourself going in and be over as yourself and touch the fan, like get the fans liking you as yourself. So it's just with that alone, I think it's changed.
No, that's great. And I really, it's attributed to you guys and right. just bringing out that personality and being more accessible to the fans, doing stuff like this, like right. coming on the podcast.
Right, right.
And, you know, just that wasn't there 20 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, big hand to you guys, and you're a part of it.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so thanks for coming through today. We're going to talk more wrestling here in a second. You have to run, preparing for one of the biggest matches in a year. If you guys already didn't order the pay-per-view, make sure you guys get that Ring of Honor 14th anniversary going down tomorrow. If you're listening today to the podcast, that is Friday. Make sure you guys order it. It's going to be an amazing card top to bottom. Like I said, we'll be right back. I want to thank Moose again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Kid on the block, hold on your bets, here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own. About time I elevated to claim my own throne. Success in my blood, call it homegrown. Puerto Rican testosterone, power and money got me crazy cocky. No longer need you, poppy. I know you're mad because you can't stop me. And if you wonder how this player done scooped your honey, I think she smell my cologne, it's called brand.
All right, Andreas had to go and run real quick. He has another interview to do with Moose. It's a busy weekend here in Vegas, but don't be sour. We have a guest to stand in for him, Marcus Vanderberg.
I'm back.
But we're here to talk WWE and all the craziness that went down this past week. We got to start with Fastlane.
Yeah, I guess we do.
And not start Fastlane. It was horrible. Let's just get it out the way. Just be honest.
It was okay. If you take out the comedy, it was fine.
R-Truth co-main evented Fastlane. That's all I gotta say.
Black History Month. You want proof?
R-Truth
got a pay-per-view match.
He couldn't even
win. I mean, come on, that's not crazy. It's still Vince McMahon, which we did Titus O'Neil. Come on.
Titus tried to give him a hug. He's suspended for life.
But yeah, I mean, overall the show was pretty average. I thought the main event was good though.
Main event was okay. I was surprised. Roman just went over clean. Ambrose carried it.
No turn yet by Ambrose. Brock didn't get pinned, which is great.
Brock never gets pinned.
Yeah, he won clean, and the fans weren't thrilled. No surprise there.
I'm sure he's going to get booed out of the building during Mania. Has to be a heel turn or something. I mean, you're not going to turn down the volume there. It's 100,000 people that can now boo him.
I said earlier on my podcast, The Kings of Sport, that if Roman wins clean at WrestleMania, we might see trash a la the Nitro days in the ring. Because I think the fans are probably just going to say, you know what, fuck it. Like, we can't do this.
Pay too much for these damn tickets.
Yeah. That's how you close the show. Roman Reigns up there smirking with the title.
That's how it's going to be. I mean, God don't give that man a mic. I'd rather him smirk than talk. That's it. He should just never talk again. He needs some type of valet. They need to get on that, too.
Yeah, and if he doesn't get it the night after, or the night winning the title, then the night after at Raw, if he's in that opening segment, I fear for his life. He shouldn't walk down the aisle. He should come down the ramp like a human being instead of walking through the crowd. I wouldn't trust the crowd.
They need to set something up for that next night. Someone legit has to challenge him. Something.
Cena? And I mean, listen, if you want to see Cena as a babyface, put Cena against Reigns. See what happens.
No more Cena sucks?
No more Cena sucks.
Cena's
how great would that be if the internet marched, like, made Cena like this demigod just for beating Roman Reigns? That'd be so great.
I miss Cena. Like,
I miss Cena.
I never thought I'd say that. I miss Cena.
And it's only been 6 weeks, maybe, since he's been out?
Yeah, but then he filmed the show.
Yeah, so it's been a while. It feels like a while. But, yeah, it's
different. We've just been parading with Del Rio and Kalisto as champions. Let's talk. Kalisto won, and no one saw it.
I saw it. And Moro called it, which was great. And then it was a letdown when Michael Cole took over for the rest of the 3 hours.
No, but it definitely was. I can't believe it. I don't know what they're doing with that belt. Where do you put that on Mania? It's going to be the pre-show for Mania? It's a sad fall for the United States Championship.
You can make that the ladder match. There's no Money in the Bank match in Mania anymore, so you make that the ladder match. Like last year with Daniel Bryan and the Intercontinental title, you could put Kalisto and... I'm assuming AJ Styles was something else better to do than challenge for that belt, but...
probably not, knowing how, you know, Vince and WWE books.
You figure with Ziggler, Kalisto, Tyler Breeze.
Who else is doing nothing? Neville.
Neville.
Yeah, let's throw R-Truth in there because he hates heights.
R-Truth and Goldust. I mean, it's either that or the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
I think we get both, sadly.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that Battle Royal is a staple.
I hope that's the pre-show match, though.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I've been saying, you know, for weeks now that the Battle Royal is here to stay, and I think they give it to Braun Strowman.
Can you tell me who won the Battle Royal last year?
Last year was Big Show. Year before was Cesaro.
All right. You're better than me. I can remember.
Big Show beat... Miz.
That's right. It was Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
And everyone wanted. Yeah. That was interesting. It wasn't horrible.
Strowman, I think, will win it this year just because they don't got shit else to do with Strowman. And he can't wrestle yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
And who's going to toss him out?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing, too. It's like, you know.
I mean, that's the only thing they really have. Let's talk about the Wyatts. They lose. Not Bray. A lot of people were saying Bray lost at Fastlane.
Yeah, Bray
Bray didn't
out.
Lose. He took the L in the grand scheme of things. But he didn't lose physically at Fastlane. But the Wyatts did. They lost to Goldberg. Ryback. I'm confused.
Yes.
Sorry. Excuse me.
Yes.
They lost to Ryback in all black. And I don't understand.
Wyatt family Bray took the L when he found out he wasn't going to wrestle Brock Lesnar. That's when he took the L. Because he went from having... probably the second or third match on top of the card to now
being
in limbo. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with them?
Four-way match, maybe, against the Social Outcast is my guess.
Oh, I hope not.
They might open the show. It's going to be bad.
Oh, no.
And this is Bray's worst WrestleMania, definitely. Already.
Yeah.
Because he's had two good rivalries.
Is it time for a Bray babyface run?
How do you make Bray a babyface? That's... I mean, he's not funny like Mick Foley. He honest to God, doesn't have a cheery bone in his body. Bray is great because that's Bray. Like, this is how he walks around all the time. He's just sour on the world. The only thing I can save Bray is, and this can't happen until next November, is if Trump wins the election, you give Bray a microphone and say all the shit that's really on your mind, Bray. That's how you make him a babyface because he's just going to rip fucking Trump to shreds. And people relate to that.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, my God, I love the Wyatts. We're all buzzards, fireflies. And they'll love that shit. That's how you make him babyface. Outside of that, no other wrestler is going to make him a babyface. Like,
yeah, that's
he's
true.
Bray Wyatt. I just don't know how you make him Taker. That's the challenge, right? Like, that's
his
role.
I don't think you can.
Is that past? Like, they never – Taker's been in a couple of these factions. Ministry of Darkness worked for a second. But he was always just Taker.
Yeah.
They always took him out.
And didn't talk much.
No.
Bray's
like,
the opposite.
How
Bray
do
talks
you
too much.
Build that? For so long, we craved the return of the Wyatt family when he went solo. And then now it's like, please separate him again.
Yeah.
Because it just messes him up. Like, every time they lose, he gets weakened. And he's supposed to be the star of it. You're pushing Strowman every damn week. I don't understand it. That stable, there's a million stables now. But that stable specifically has to go.
I guess if they did somehow turn him, you could have Bray and Braun as a match. Yeah.
That's not bad. Someone,
not bad. I mean,
someone for Bray to go over on.
Yeah. I don't know. He's in a tough spot. It's been, what, 3 years now? 4 years now?
Yeah.
And?
I mean, they just don't give him that platform.
No.
I don't understand it. Like, he needs... the push. Just push the guy. And now it's about to get real crowded. So now where does he go? I mean, he has a character where he doesn't need to hold the world championship. But you're giving it to Roman Reigns. Might as well let him, you know, get a touch. See what the hell he can do with it.
When was the last time he held a belt? Has he held a belt, Bray?
I'm not sure if he's held a belt. Intercontinental,
Let's
maybe?
Let's check here on Wikipedia.
That's one hell of a question.
That'd be a good starting point is give him some gold, at least.
Yeah, just give him something. Kalisto is the United States champion, and they can't give Bray a belt? You got to be kidding me. Let him take that shit. He ain't doing nothing. Put Bray in a ladder match.
Yeah.
Have Bray attack Kalisto. I'm down. I'll do a Wyatt open challenge every week.
Bray has never won a belt.
He's never won a belt. Bray's wildly young, though, right? He's like 28.
Belts mean nothing, but at the same time, if you've been around for that long, you've never sniffed a title, any title.
Because his character's too good. Like, they take him for granted. He's Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Where his character's
But even Mick won
so
the title.
Good. They threw him a bone for a night.
Yeah.
He was tag team champion a few times. Like, it. Oh, please, please just have him attack Kalisto. Give him that belt. Have a Wyatt family
Poor
open
Kalisto.
Challenge. Heel Ryback, you know, can come through.
But
and
what was that about, by the way?
I don't know. He walked out on them. Is it going to be Ryback versus Show at Mania?
I feel like we've seen that before. I hope we don't see it again.
I feel like we've seen everyone versus Show. Yeah. I don't want to see Owens versus Show.
I don't either.
Kevin Owens can't even save Big Show at this point. I saw the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast.
I thought he was pretty funny.
I thought he was good. I was like,
the whole
man,
beard thing?
Yeah.
With him in the towel?
I like Big Show as a guy. I still want him to retire. Like, it did nothing to help me change that. Like, it's time for him to go. He said 2 more years, and I cringed.
It's going to be a long 2 years.
Yeah, like, him and Kane, they got to go.
Yeah.
Non-mask Kane bothers me, too, while we're on shit that they're getting wrong.
Corporate Kane?
Yeah, like, he's not corporate anymore. He has nothing to do with the authority right now. Can he wear his mask and, you know, lace front wig or whatever the fuck he's wearing? I'm telling you, man, he got like a 16-inch weave right now. Just put that back in. Give him the mask. Let him be Scary Kane. Give him the black leotard with the flames.
I wonder what his political thoughts are. He's very into politics, you know.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. I think he's on the other side, too. So he leans right. So I'm curious what his thoughts are on Donald Trump.
Interesting. WWE is a weird place. Let him go be a politician. Do something.
I think he's thought about it, actually, to be honest.
Good. Get the hell out of the ring. There's plenty of people. I haven't seen Tyler Breeze in weeks.
He was in that five-way match.
Yeah, I saw him take a pop-up powerbomb.
Yeah.
That was it. He came in. He had an intro. You kind of heard his music for the first time
it's
on the main
Tyler.
Roster.
And then, yeah.
And then he did nothing. He was in position to win.
He got pinned.
Yep. Pop-up powerbomb. So let him wrestle. I haven't seen Neville do anything meaningful. He's just in like triple threat, but
yeah,
mixed tag team matches.
I mean, both of those guys would benefit so much more from being back in NXT, to be honest.
But they can't stay there forever.
Can they? I mean,
there's
gonna be some
question.
Guys who are not gonna make it to the main roster.
And just be NXT lifers. NXT might have passed them by now.
Yeah, I mean, under the current one-hour format, it would be tough to fit in both of those guys with what's going on currently. Yeah, you might be right.
So, I mean, they're in limbo, and we hear news of what's-his-face wanting to leave, the Social Outcast dude, the British one.
Oh, you want Wade Barrett?
Oh, Wade Barrett, not even
League
Social
Nations,
Outcast,
yeah.
League of Nations. Wade Barrett wants to leave after his contract is done. It's just a lot of these guys are being phased out, and there's not enough room for them.
I hope Wade is sort of the example to the other guys in the locker room that, look, if you're not happy with what you're doing, there's other stuff to do. There's other companies to wrestle for. Don't feel like you're obligated to stay with the WWE and wrestle once every month, you know, on television. So hopefully it works out for him and he can sort of open that door for other people.
There has to be that fluidity.
I
think that's what we have to see. Like, there's so many other promotions. You can go and you can wrestle 3 times a month, make decent money, and be happy.
Yeah.
You can see your family more. That's the worst part. It's like you're not wrestling,
and
you're traveling
and you're just sitting in the back with the boys. Like,
it can't be fun.
No.
That's when it wears on you. Like, he's in a stable where he's the guy who doesn't get put in matches. Rusev still fights all the damn time.
Yeah.
Sheamus until he
Well,
got
he has been hurt,
up.
I believe, the last couple of months. But
they're all hurt. Yeah.
Barrett specifically.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Sheamus got banged up for a second, but they thrown him back in there. Del Rio had this horrible feud. But it's like he's the odd man out.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, the injuries. I mean, these 300 nights a year, it catches up to you. And
we've seen that with Super
last year, so many guys in Dallas have been hurt on this roster that if you can go in Indies and, you know, work once a weekend and have the other 6 days to rest and recruit, even better.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to go, especially if you're not being used. So
yeah,
we'll see. WrestleMania itself, what are you looking forward to? Oh, we gotta talk about
nothing.
The main point. Let's go on to Raw.
There has
to be one thing you're looking forward to. He's back. Shane O'Mac. I got up off my couch. I did the skip. I did the arm twirl. I did all of that. You look at me like I'm crazy. I did it. I was a grown-ass man. It took me back to when I was like 14. Shane O'Mac'd out.
I was at work, and I was like, oh, shit. I am confused by all of this. It makes no sense on paper.
What do you mean? Shane O'Mac is the king of gimmick matches.
Well, that part makes sense. The part that doesn't make sense is the Undertaker involvement. And maybe we'll find out Monday, like, why is he obligated to wrestle in this match? I mean, he didn't ask for this match, in theory. We were just assume he got assigned this match. And maybe he'll come out and say, hey, look, Vince, like,
I'm not your lackey.
Yeah, like, thanks for your offer to put me in this match, but I'm not wrestling. And maybe Vince says, hey, listen, either you win or you're done.
Undertaker retirement match would also be good.
And I think he's going to win over Shane. I can't see this being his last match. I would hope if this is his last match, he would at least have some say in his opponent. And I'm pretty sure he didn't pitch Shane McMahon to be his opponent.
Shane McMahon's training with GSP's trainer, by the way.
I saw that.
He's getting real. He's taking, like, shin kicks. Full MMA Shane. So if we see, like, Kimura Lock versus Kimura Lock, we know where it came from. No, but Shane's there to get thrown off of some shit. He's going to be thrown off of the cell. He wants control of Raw. Maybe this is Vince's way of putting over another authority guy so Triple H can fade into the background. Triple H can't be a heel forever. So if Shane, right now it looks like it's Shane versus Vince. And maybe Shane pulls the turn and aligns with Vince and be like, ha ha, you thought I was going to change Raw. No, I'm back. I'm just like my dad.
I can't see him being back full time, though. But if he were to align with Vince, then Vince can still
be
that
mouthpiece.
Figurehead, and yeah. Shane can sort of fade off into whatever he was doing before.
You need to get Trips the hell out of there, though. Like, he's just so busy, NXT, everything else. Like,
well, what do you do? What do you do with Stephanie, then?
I don't know. Send her on, like, another tour of Europe or wherever she went. She went, like, South America and shit. Like, be a philanthropist.
But eventually, the babyface has to sort of... I said, who's going to be the babyface, I would say? It'd be Triple H?
In that match?
No, in terms of, like, control of Raw.
No, I mean...
I don't see Shane winning.
Oh, I don't know. The only way I see Shane winning is if Undertaker beats the living hell out of him, wants to stick it to Vince, lays down, and just puts Shane's arm over him. Just so Shane gets control, sticks it to Vince, and Undertaker still made a point. Or someone interferes, setting up a year-long build to WrestleMania. I mean, all those John Cena rumors could be true. Cena can come in, you know, Shane could be, like, bloodied and laying after being thrown off of the cell and shit and taking a tombstone, and Cena comes in, attitude adjustment, and screws Taker. Cena heel turn on Taker. Isn't that what people said he'll take?
But that would make
Cena heel turn?
That would make Cena and babyface for helping Shane get control.
Listen, then Taker comes back as a heel.
This is why this thing makes no sense.
I don't know what to tell you. But
I don't want.
Cena
I don't want to judge
versus
it.
Taker next year, and it'll be a year long build. They've done that shit before with Cena.
I don't want to judge this angle yet because it's only been a week, but
it can go so many ways.
It can.
90% of them are horrible.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that 10% could be great.
Yeah, I mean, we have options. We didn't have options when we left Fastlane. We're like, wait, Reigns, Triple H. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's still going to close the show, probably.
Still is.
And I
Reigns feel, with the
I,
broken nose thing.
Yeah.
Triple H bloodied, which looked cool.
It
Triple
looked
H
cool.
Went back to old school Triple H.
Yeah.
He did the hand gesture, suck it sign. That was funny. Triple H still
this,
got it. I like Triple H better than Roman Reigns.
This isn't helping Roman Reigns, though.
No. But Roman Reigns isn't helping Roman Reigns.
That's true.
You just had a triple threat designed for you to win, and Dean Ambrose just stole the show. So much so that Ambrose gave up the title. They just made up a match to have him lose the title to Owens.
Yeah, that was clear.
And then it was
and
just
then
like
Lesnar, he got the Lesnar
fight,
yeah.
Which is the bigger fight. And it's going to be like, you know what, Dean? You don't need Seth Rollins to come and interfere. You and Lesnar are going to put on a hell of a show, something that Roman couldn't do last year. Street fight, that was an amazing angle on Raw.
Do you see him beating Lesnar?
I don't. I don't see anyone beating Lesnar.
Yeah.
He's going to take an ass whooping and look good doing
it. Yeah, I think that's his role. And he's going to take it well. And I could even see if Lesnar wanted to really get Ambrose over, do the whole respect thing afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, he can go over without winning.
Yeah.
Just being in the match with Lesnar at
being in the match and just getting, like, the handshake afterwards, there you go.
Yeah. Because he's going to keep crawling back. He's going to kick out of stuff. He's going to, you know, take a beating. He's going to go through some tables. He's going to hit Lesnar with 1,000 chair shots.
Yeah.
And people are going to respect the match, and it'll probably be Lesnar's best match since the Rollins three-way match. Him, Rollins,
Cena. Is it the Rumble?
The Rumble last year. It's going to be great, and it only takes those two. The stipulations are built already into it. They're telling a good story. And Roman Reigns was kind of the odd man out, so they just kicked his ass out of the storyline.
Yeah, I hope that match is similar to Lesnar, John Cena, Extreme Rules, his first match back, where it felt like a real fight.
Yeah.
From like the minute the match started, it was like, all right, this is
a brawl.
Yeah, like, this is a shoot. I hope that's what it feels like, as opposed to just a straight, like, you know.
And I think Dean wants that. I mean, I
hope Dean's ready.
Dean's crazy. That's what you need a little bit. Like, he's just a little off. He's going to love every second of that. And to be honest, they're going to steal Mania. It's going to be his WrestleMania moment.
I would say,
no nothing.
If it's not them, if we did Styles Owens.
Which would be great.
Which would be great. I think that would be a close second. And maybe a lot. If we had a ladder match, maybe.
How do you have Triple H go on after either of those matches? Him, Reigns. Like, it's just going to be dead, right? You got to give him a buffer. Is R-Truth still available? Like, what are they going to do in between? I mean, maybe the Undertaker-Shane O'Mac match is the co-main now, which will kind of die down everything. But maybe not. Maybe that gives some
crazy pops. What was the buffer last year?
Last year, was it the Divas match before again?
I think you might be right. Yes, it was.
It was like a Divas tag match?
Yeah. So they need that buffer.
They need the buffer. You can't put the Divas match as a buffer this year.
And even then, if you have that buffer,
I mean, you're going to go Sasha versus Charlotte versus Becky as the buffer. That might steal the show. So it's just like, let's not go Divas.
I mean, that's a good problem to have if you have too many matches. But
not when your top one is the odd man out, though.
Well, I think that top one's going to be interesting just from, like, the fans' perspective. Like, I just want to see the crowd reaction to, I mean, because you know Hunter's going to have this elaborate entrance. That's what he's known for at WrestleMania.
Definitely.
And then you have Reigns, who I'm going to assume he's
Where's
not
he
going.
Coming from?
I'm going to assume he's not going to do it.
He has to. There's no other.
It's going to take 10 minutes for him to, like, get to the ring.
He better come from, like, section 407 all the way down. Because what else? I mean, it's a huge stadium. That's what the hell is there for.
Yeah. Well,
unless he's going to come down like HBK.
Again,
like
again, would you trust the fans to get you safely down to the ring? I would not.
Him getting punched in the face on the way down to the ring.
How has that happened yet? How has no one punched this man in the face?
Just take the shot. Like,
if you're that person, like, you're going to get arrested, yes. You're going to get banned from
WWE
shows
for
life, yes. But for those 15 minutes, Reddit, you'll be the man on Reddit. There's got to
be
someone stupid enough to, like,
attempt this. That's your baby face.
Yeah, the man didn't punch in the face.
Like, you want to debut one of these NXT people or something? Just have them chill, like, third row when Roman's coming down and just knock Roman out. Like Samoa Joe, just have him sit there.
Except they wouldn't do that because they would say that some idiot would try to copy that. And
you think?
Yeah.
Nah.
I can't see a talent doing that. But, yeah, I'm surprised. I really – every time he does that, I pray nothing happens because I'm like, I wouldn't trust wrestling fans.
The security's not great around.
It's not great. They have some guys. I mean, look what Punk did a few years ago to that fan. When Punk did that segment with Vince McMahon in the ring, he took a swing at a fan and missed. It was the wrong fan. So it's like, ah, man.
I don't know. I don't know how you save Reigns, though. It's such
you
got
to turn him. That's the only way. Let him be a heel. He's not going to work as a face.
Yeah, like Moose said, I mean, he's already a heel. Like, he's getting booed everywhere.
Just turn him.
But he still needs help as a heel, though. Like, he can't talk. So, after a while, what are you going to do? You're just going to just rely on random boos to make this guy a face? Sooner or later, you got to say something. Or someone got to say something for him.
What you need is, like, multiple Paul Heymans in your company.
Yes.
And that's something they're lacking. You have one Paul Heyman, and that's it. And, I mean, who's the number two talker in the company? I can't even.
Outside of, non-wrestling?
I mean, Ric Flair doesn't talk. Yeah. Is
no.
That, yeah.
Flair doesn't say anything. They don't have another guy. They don't have a guy in NXT.
No, I think, you know, the art of the valet is something they're really lacking. If they can sort of develop someone who is not really an active wrestler, maybe even like The Miz. I didn't see The Miz as a good manager.
The Miz
is a good heel manager.
Definitely. He played that role kind of with Daniel Bryan when he needed to.
So I think that's something they're really lacking, is having that mouthpiece for guys who can't talk. Because if you have guys who are in NXT who have foreign backgrounds, you might need someone to talk for them because
they
can't do it.
And I guess right now their answer is just stables and just hope one person can talk. That's not the right answer.
No, it's not.
And
too
we
many
saw,
stables.
I mean, even Rusev had Lana, which was really dope for a second, and they've gone away from that.
Yeah. Where has she been?
Ah, Lord knows. I miss Lana. Like,
she
bring her back.
She can't wrestle, so she's not even doing that. So it's like, well, what do you do?
Can she wrestle?
I don't think she can. I don't know if she's trained or not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think she's an indie person. I mean, she was a singer at one point, so.
Yeah, I think she's just the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
So they need something like that. Maybe Roman can have a badass, like, chick come out with him.
Tamina. Are they related? No.
No. No. They're not all alike, Marcus.
Sorry. That was offensive of me.
And Nia Jax is preoccupied. She has her own valet.
Yeah, Eva Marie.
Coincidentally.
Wow. Yeah.
Someone who can't wrestle, who just speaks for her.
Can't talk either.
No, well, listen. But she got heat.
She does.
A Roman Reigns,
Eva Marie
wedding segment the day after Mania.
Oh, man.
That's heat. That's full-on heel Reigns. That's great.
Could you imagine if those two were paired together?
Oh, it'd be amazing.
She, like, dyed her hair black.
Oh, you're on to something. They both come out through the crowd. That's when a fan will take a shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You don't want that.
Imagine Roman on Total Divas. Oh, you just want to make him unbearable? Just put him on
that
everything
show.
People hate. Everything.
Who hates Total Divas?
Do you like Total Divas? You like Total Divas? No, I can't stand that show.
No?
No. I mean, I watch the network all the time. They have good shows on the network.
I'd rather
watch Edge and Christian.
I haven't seen that yet.
It wasn't great.
I feel like you get a good sense of their personalities, like, outside of the ring. And I think Cena being the one that stands out the most, because he seems like the most chill, level-headed dude.
Yeah, he's a weird guy, though.
Daniel's weird, too.
Yeah, his divorce really...
Yeah, he's got some issues.
Made him, like, old man and, like, surly, right?
I don't want no kids. I don't want no ring.
Yeah, he's a little weird.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan was also a weird mountain man, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that show needs some
new blood. And Natty's kind of weird, too, so.
She's clingy. See, that's what I don't like. Like, it's way too Bravo-ish for me. It's not like Breaking Ground was great.
I didn't like Breaking Ground.
You didn't like Breaking Ground.
It felt too scripted to me. Like, I know Tony was scripted, but it's like, you know it's scripted. I feel like Breaking Ground was trying not to be scripted, and it felt off. Sometimes some of the backstage stuff felt like
okay.
It was just set up for the show. It didn't feel natural. That was the issue I had with it.
Oh, that makes sense. I'm sure they had to have some type of script and to go off of that. But it was promoted as like the grittiness of a wrestling locker room. It wasn't that.
Could have been more like a 24/7 HBO. I think that would have been great. And I still think there's room for a show like that on the network where – it is real. You're not getting any production. 24/7, that's, for the most part, that's pretty much who those guys are. I still didn't do that.
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be a great idea. Until then, Roman Reigns, we're kind of stuck with him. And WrestleMania, I just got my tickets in the mail. I'm happy as hell. And I'll be there, and I'm going to have to watch Reigns with a bunch of fucking confetti on him.
Oh, man.
And there's going to be, like, just crazy fireworks, and he's going to be holding up the title, and everyone's going to be like, ah. Oh.
Beers flying in the rain.
Who loves Roman Reigns.
So does my wife.
She's going to be so happy.
I don't know what it is. She said it's the eyes. I was like, whatever.
It's the hair and the muscles. Don't lie. Like, it's not the eyes. Yeah. Ain't nobody looking at Roman Reigns' eyes. Yeah, women don't even know he has eyes.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like me saying it's Sasha Banks' eyes.
That's what it is.
It's like, yeah, like, Sasha's bae because of her eyes.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, we all know why Sasha's bae. And Sasha got thick, by the way. She's a little thick.
Putting on?
She's doing squats, yeah. Something. Naomi's helping her. Naomi has helped in some way. So, it's a perfect way to end the show, talking about bae. Thank you, Marcus.
I try.
Thanks for joining us today. It was a great show. Busy show. Long show, but I'm sure you guys enjoyed it. Thanks for waiting the extra day. You guys can find us on all our social media at The Corner LSN on every platform. Marcus, plug all of your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill. And I also have a podcast myself called The Kings of Sport. You go to kingsofsport.podbean.com.
And I'm at Kel Dansby on every platform. Hit us up. Remember, we're still looking for that intern. If you guys are interested, hit us up through email. It's thecornerpod@gmail.com. I'm not going to lie. It's a pretty fun gig to have. Today, we had Moose on the show. We're bringing on more guests by the week. Next week, though, we have UFC 196 Red Panty Night. So we are going to be here live at the Fight Shop that Wednesday after we go to the media workouts. So if you're in town, once again, come and join us. I swear Andreas isn't going to make fun of you if you come through. Till then, though, we're out.